but Lenya couldn't be here today. She's out of the country. She sends you all her love. She's super thankful and blessed by you ladies more than you know. And it is her heart and it is our heart that you would just continue to live fearlessly, that you would be intentional over the break, and that you would learn to press on in that fearlessness. Is that the right way to say it? Yes. With, you know, just to press on and be strong and courageous. That's what you've been learning in the book of Joshua this semester. And we want you to do that even by evangelizing and speaking to a lost world. That's part of it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I just want to encourage you, like we saw in the video, you ladies have the power within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you. And that's something that a video or a movie can't have to change a life. So one woman with one question has the opportunity to change a life. And that question that I'm talking about comes from the power of an invitation. So I brought some examples of invitations with me today. We receive them all the time. Sometimes we don't even recognize that's what we're receiving. You'll see what I'm saying in here in a minute. But I have one here for a coffee mug, White Elephant Gift Exchange. That sounds fun. Be going to that. I have a little sweet note from my daughter. She writes me little invites to. This one's to go for tea. So always accept those ones, or I do. This is for a credit card. They're inviting you. No annual fee, no interest, but I won't be partaking of that one. All right. And another one, this is to go and visit some open houses, check out some homes. Maybe I'm going to end up purchasing one. So we receive invitations all the time. You ladies receive them even in maybe Facebook or Instagram, you know, friend requests and different things like that that you get. But have you ever received an invitation that has changed your life forever? You know, every major intersection of our life is probably the result of an invitation. So think about that. And I'll give you an example of myself. About 12 years ago for me, my mom invited me here to come to Calvary. And I turned down that invitation many times. I was not walking with the Lord, didn't know him. And I honestly, I would say it out loud, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear about this God person, so stop inviting me. And she just continued to be persistent in that. And I remember coming one night, you guys, and it was okay. It was kind of weird to me, people like lifting their hands and stuff. But anyway, I ended up coming back a couple more times. And that's when I gave my life to the Lord. I accepted another invitation when I was sitting here in this sanctuary. So kind of fast forward, you know, the Lord dealt with me, dealt with my sin, dealt with all these things that I was involved in. So it was invitation after invitation. Years later, I would be invited to come here and be on staff, which is just beyond, like, I would have never in a million years thought that. But that's what God did. And now I have the opportunity to serve with you ladies, to talk with you, to fellowship with you. And that's just in a nutshell. That's very high level. But do you see how one invitation just led to another one and another one and another one? And it has completely changed my life. So all of us have those within our own lives. So let's go ahead. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to look at a scripture that will hopefully encourage us as we head out this last day. So Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you that you are changing lives in here and that you personally have extended an invitation to each of these ladies. I pray that they would all know that and they would see it if they haven't accepted it. Father, I pray that you be glorified in here, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would teach us, and we would continue to live a fearless life. We love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read to you from John chapter 1. You can turn there if you want. Otherwise, I'll just read it to you. I'm going to read to you verses 38 through 42. And just real quick to kind of recap what's going on here is that John the Baptist, we're talking about him and we're seeing some of the things that he is going to say about Jesus. His calling in life was to prepare the way for the Messiah. And that's what he was doing. He was saying, telling the people who Jesus was. He was encouraging the people to repent and to turn from their sins. This is all before Jesus came. So John ends up having disciples that follow him. They believed what he said. They believed in this coming Messiah. So they listened to John. One of the last things that you'll read before the scriptures I'm about to get to is that John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And as he says that, two of his disciples, they start following Jesus. So in verse 38, Jesus turns and he looks at them following him and says, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. So notice in this text, first of all, that because of John's witness and because of what John spoke, that is why Andrew chose to follow Jesus. If you're taking note, I titled this, I don't know who to give credit to, so many people have used this, but found people find people. That is what we are supposed to do. We want to talk about just two things that we can learn from Andrew. And the first thing is Andrew brought people to Jesus. He brought them to Jesus and he started with his own family. He started with his brother. He spent one day with Jesus, it says in verse 39, one day. Whatever he heard that day must have made a significant impact in his life. Because he went and found his brother. And to go and to find someone, that means he was diligently looking, right? If we're trying to find something, we are looking, we're diligently finding. So he went and found his brother. And I don't know about you ladies, but for me, family can be the hardest. You know, your family has known you your whole life. They know all about you. They knew you, knew me before Christ. And it's just kind of hard sometimes with family. I think they're the ones who will speak up to you the most or tell you what they don't agree with, or they could just be really harsh and upfront and honest. And, but Andrew, I think it's just such a beautiful thing that in one day, he knew the importance of bringing a sinner to the Savior, and that was his brother. So some of us have been walking with the Lord for years, and we still don't get that. We still aren't doing that. So the second thing about Andrew is he was available. And if you read on to John chapter 6, this is where the feeding of the 5,000 takes place. And Andrew, if you notice in this scripture, if you go back through and read it, Jesus actually says, "Where do we buy bread that we can feed these?" He sees a multitude of people. But he asked the question to Philip, and the Bible says he asked him that to test him. But Andrew, ladies, speaks up. Philip starts coming up with ideas based on what Jesus asked. "Oh, I don't know, you know," more, I'm paraphrasing, "you know, we couldn't get enough money to feed all these people." But Andrew speaks up. And Andrew says, "There is a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Andrew brought that to Jesus' attention. He saw the potential in a person. And I think that he saw that what he brought to Jesus, or rather who he brought to Jesus, that Jesus could do something with. He had that expectancy. And I think Andrew being available like this also shows us that his faith was growing. You know, we go from what we read in John chapter 1, and now we're reading this in John chapter 6 of him speaking up and saying something. After he says that, though, I think his faith was still growing. It wasn't perfected, which none of us will be perfected here, because after he says about the boy with the five loaves and 2 fish, he says, "But what are they among so many?" So he wasn't really sure, but he still said something to Jesus, and Jesus responded and did something with that. A lot of you know the story, but the point is that Andrew was available. So when we see Andrew throughout scripture, we see him in John chapter 1, he's bringing his brother to Jesus. We see him in John chapter 6, he's bringing the boy to Jesus. We see him later in John chapter 12, and it says that certain Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and Andrew is the one who brought them to Jesus. The interesting thing, too, if you read that passage in John chapter 12, it says that Philip, these Greeks came to Philip, and Philip is the one who takes them to Andrew, and Andrew in turn takes them to Jesus. So I just find that kind of interesting, Philip involved in both scenarios there. So we don't have a book of the Bible written by Andrew. We don't have sermons that are recorded by Andrew. But we can learn so much from his life that he was a man who was a soul winner. He was doing kingdom work, and he was busy about his father's business. So why don't we invite others to meet Jesus? Why don't we do this? And you know, ladies, as I was kind of going through and preparing for this, it was really convicting to me because of the couple of reasons that I came up with. And the first one is because we're selfish. We don't invite people because maybe it's to church, maybe it's even here to study, because we're so busy running around, we forget. You know, we're busy, busy, busy doing all of our things. We come to church, maybe we're planning things that we're going to do afterwards. We're going to go eat, we're going to go hang out with our friends. So we forget to invite people. And honestly, it can really be an inconvenience for us, if we're honest. You know, if I invite somebody to Bible study next Tuesday or invite somebody to church maybe on a Saturday night a week in advance, that means I need to follow through with that, right? It's a commitment. So by the time I get to that day, if I decide, I kind of don't feel like going to Bible study today. Now I've committed to that person and I'm selfish, so I don't want to come. And I want to cancel on this person. The second reason why we don't invite others to meet Jesus is because we are fearful. If we're honest, I think that a lot of times we're afraid of what people are going to think about us. And the same that I said when I came here and I saw people raising their hands, it was a little, like just weird because I didn't understand yet. I think that we can get concerned with that. Like there's people worshiping here and, you know, our family members or whoever might be intimidated by this. We're fearful of rejection. Maybe they're going to say no. Maybe they're going to say no repeatedly, as I said to my mom. Sometimes we even try to figure out the sermon message, don't we? I don't know if I'm alone in that, but, oh, what are we going to be speaking about this weekend or who's teaching? Because we think that we know that is the message they need to hear. That is just completely foolish, but we do that. And we get, and then we start thinking, oh, well, they might be offended if they hear this and that. So all of that is linked back to fear. We're afraid and we need not to be afraid. So Jesus knew the importance of extending an invitation and how it can change a life. The question, again, the right question at the right time has just significant power. You know, some people might ask you, why should I go to your church? Why should I go to your women's Bible study? Why should I go to your Christmas tea? We need to get to a place like Jesus and where he said, come and see. We saw that in John chapter 1 with Andrew. That's what Jesus tells him, come and see. That was an invitation. You know, later, Jesus will invite others to himself. He will invite a whole group of people. And this is in John chapter 7. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. John chapter 21, he'll tell his disciples, come and eat. And if you read in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus tells all of us, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So come is the great invitation of God's grace. There's a lady at the well in John chapter 4, and her life as well, she has this encounter with Jesus, and it's one day, it's one encounter that she has with him, and she ends up going back to her town, and she tells the people, come and see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Come and see a man. And that town, if you read that story, most of that town was saved because one woman decided to extend one invitation. That's all she did. And Jesus did the rest. So what if Andrew didn't invite Peter? What if he didn't go and find his brother? You know, we even just sang a song tonight, that song, Brave. But thinking about, you know, you how the Lord calls us out onto the waters. And, you know, and as your waves crash over me, I don't remember all the words, Natalie. But you know, we encourage each other with stories about Peter's life that have to even do with this ocean and the waves and the storms. You know, Peter is the one who Jesus, again, extended an invitation to come to him on the water. And Peter is looking at Jesus. He is focused. And he's not thinking, he's walking when there's a storm and waves, everything going on all around him. But when he looks to the side, he starts sinking because he takes his eyes off Jesus. So we encourage people with these stories. You know, girl, don't give up. Keep going. Keep your focus on Jesus. Don't look to the storm. You know, keep your eyes on Jesus. We wouldn't have stories like that. We wouldn't hear about Peter. He was the one who would deny Jesus three times. and we wouldn't see the beautiful restoring heart of God, that when Jesus is resurrected, one of the main things that he will take care of, and it is recorded in scripture for us, for our benefit and to encourage us, is that he would restore Peter to himself. We're encouraged by stories like this. In John chapter 18, Peter will go and cut off the, when they come to arrest Jesus and take him to be crucified, Peter is the one who will cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. But Jesus will reach out and touch the man's ear, and he will heal him completely. We wouldn't see the compassionate heart of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter himself will encourage us. I know a lot of us have used this scripture with each other, that it is by your gentle and quiet spirit, that inward beauty that pleases God, that can win over your husbands. Peter wrote that. So what if his brother didn't go and talk to him, extend this invitation? So invitation is different than information. We try to get out of this, okay? Come with me to Bible study, you know, is an invitation. Come with me. You should come. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. We can go and get lunch afterwards, whatever. That's a personal invitation. Sometimes what we do is try to pass on information. So we have a Bible study on Tuesday. Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's great. You know, yeah, we have four services on the weekends and we maybe shoot off the times, but we're not personally inviting people. They're much more likely to come if it's personal. It's really intimidating to step on this campus. Even if it's not this campus, if you're inviting them to a fellowship or something else that's going to impact their lives, it's really intimidating for people. Okay, so how do we invite others? So four ways that we can invite others. And the first one is to just talk about things that are important to you, ladies. Okay, this is really awful, but I'm just going to be truthful. We'll see if any of you are with me. That, okay, if someone asks you, how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend? Sometimes, depending on who it is, I just say, good. You know, it was great. But I leave out, you know, anything about service or anything about, you know, because of the person who it is, I just don't feel like getting into the whole church thing with them. Does anybody else do that? Oh, come on. Don't leave me alone. Okay. So anyway, talk about things that are important to you. Just have conversations with people. There's an open door in there somewhere for an invitation. The second thing is tell your story. You know, your story, I told you partially in my story, but your story and your testimony has the power to change a life. It really, really does. You know, people cannot argue, or they can argue, excuse me, with your logic all day long, but they can't really argue with your story. They can't really argue with, this is what I experienced and this is how my life has been changed. You know, just like the lady at the well, and just like Andrew, we need to let this encounter that we've had with the Lord, if we're believers in Jesus today, we need to let it overflow so we can impact other people's lives. And the third thing is that we need to just simply ask, ladies, like, will you come with me? You know, just simply ask. I've been recognizing this in one of my friends for a number of years, and she will ask things that I'm just shocked that she asked. Sometimes I'm standing right there and I'm like, oh, she's not asking that. Like, they just seem like things that are just way above what people are going to respond to. But I have never heard anybody tell her no. I am not kidding. Everybody just tells her yes. And they just, you know, whatever she's asking, I'm like, wow. And we've been talking in the office lately about just if you don't ask the question, the answer is already no. So something to think about. And the fourth thing is that we need to, this is one of the most important things, is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and help us. Because he is the one who's going to give us boldness and confidence. He is the one who will open doors for you to extend that, to pay attention and to be in tune with what's going on in other people's lives. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11 that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those of you who ask him? So you have to ask for this filling. So again, we bring the people and Jesus is the one who does the work within them. So I just want to encourage you, like, not to let the invitation die with you. Somebody in your life has extended an invitation to you that has changed your life. Don't let it die with you and don't let it just sit there. You know, I think that all of us are praying for certain people, maybe salvation of family members and loved ones, friends, maybe people we work with or that we see on a regular basis somewhere. Wouldn't we want another believer in Jesus Christ to reach out to that person and invite them somewhere? Invite them to a men or a women's study. Invite them to church. Invite them to even sit and have coffee so we can have a conversation. And then you look for another open door. Wouldn't we want that for the ones that we are praying for? So we see people all day long, you guys, that are in bad moods. You know, they're maybe some people are going through divorce. They're going through different things in their life. They have maybe experienced loss in their life. People need to hear. And it needs to start with us. We need to reach out and help people. And again, like we saw in that trailer that we played a minute ago, is that we can help change the world. It starts with one person. It starts with all of us in here. It starts with you and it starts with me. So we're going to spend some time just praying over. A lot of you wrote down names last week of people that you would maybe potentially want to invite, whether it's here to Bible study or the Christmas tea or church. You know why you wrote their name down. And as we continue in worship in a little bit, those names are going to come across the screen. And we just want to pray collectively over those names and just ask the Lord that he would open up the doors and that we would see it and we'd step in and invite these people. And we would make a difference. We would be part of answering prayers in 2016. And we only have, what, a month and a half left, right? We can do it. We can do it. So before we do that, though, I'm going to invite some ladies up who are going to share. And you ladies can just come to the right of me and line up at the side of the stage. And you're going to hear from them. Some of them go out and invite people regularly. And some of them have been invited and their life has changed. So we want to share some of those testimonies with you. And as the ladies are coming up, I'm going to read to you a survey that was done by Lifeway Research, and they surveyed thousands of people, and this is churchgoers and non-churchgoers. All right, so people who do not go to church, on this survey, 82% said they were likely to come if somebody invited them. 70% said that nobody had ever invited them. People who do go to church, there was only 2% who said that they regularly invite people. So let's make a difference, ladies. Let's not be fearful and not be afraid. We have nothing to lose but everything to gain, and you have something to say. So before I call the first girl up here, I'm just going to read to you a testimony that somebody wrote in about an invitation she received. So I'm not going to read her name. I'm not sure if I was supposed to or not. So I was invited to She Ministries by my Spanish Connect group. Before She Ministries, I felt isolated. I thought that problems I was having were only mine and no one else had them. And I didn't have many people that I could talk to. But now I trust in the power of prayer, and I feel more comfortable speaking to others about my daily struggles. And I can ask for prayers openly because I know this group of wonderful women care about me. I used to think the lifestyle of other women had was the lifestyle that I should be pursuing until I realized that my career, professional job, and busy schedule was a dream for other women. The thing I was hating is actually my calling. Okay, so I have understood that God knows what he is doing, and he is a perfect God with a perfect plan for each one of us. And he has given me so many blessings, which I didn't see clearly until now. So the study in the book of Joshua has helped me to be brave and strong and helped me with my relationships with others and to trust God and be patient while I wait. It made me realize that I don't have to be perfect to have a relationship with God. I learned that God is a God of second chances, and he was giving me an opportunity to pause and continue with a fresh mind following his will. And that when he asked me to do something, it is because he will make it possible and he will not forsake me or my family. So my Spanish group has great leaders, and I enjoy each one of their teachings. I have been very blessed with every season of She Ministries and the friendships that I've built in the process. So this all came, again, from one invitation from somebody in her Connect group. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can come up, Heather. Watch your step right here. All right, so this is Heather. Hi, Heather. Okay, so you're going to share with us the power of an invitation that you received, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was invited by one of my friends, Vonda. Vonda, are you here? I don't even see her here today. She's not here today. Well, everybody knows who she is. We worked together for a short while, and she has a great faith, and I recognize that in her. And she said, you have to come. And she invited me to hashtag deliverance, which changed my life completely. And ever since then, I met you, and I got plugged in right away doing the social media. So it was amazing for me. That one invitation, and she came with me, so I didn't have to come by myself. And it made me feel very comfortable. And now I know all the ladies, and it's changed my life. So it was awesome.
Can you tell them real quick how you felt about, is it okay to tell them how you felt about women and attending things?
Yes, I had a fear of women. I think because of how I grew up, I didn't trust women. So I was very reluctant. I was like, I don't want to be, I don't want to do that. I was afraid of being judged. It was all fear, like you had just said. And quickly I saw, especially in my small group, that women aren't really like that. We aren't all the same. There are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of caring, loving women. Just because you've had one or two bad, you know, relationships with friends or family, you know, there are a lot of women. And the Lord placed it in my life. I needed it bad. I needed female figures in my life badly. And even a counselor here at Calvary told me that. He said, Heather, you need women friends. And I'm like, he was right. So it was a complete blessing for me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. And thank you, Vonda, if you're watching, for inviting Heather.
Yes. Thank
yes.
You.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right. Careful with the cord. Hi. All right. Let me step up here. What's your name?
Fabiola.
Fabiola. Oh, did I just read your thing? Oh, I thought I was supposed to read it. Was I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I just read her testimony. This is her. I thought that's what I was supposed to do, but here you are.
Go ahead. Yes, I'm here. Well, you hear my testimony. I was invited in my Connect group. I go to a Spanish Connect group with Marilu, and she invited me to come over here, and it's been a great experience. I love it.
Awesome. And thank you for sharing like how the Lord has changed your life and all the things that you are learning. And it's so encouraging because it's one invitation, right? One thing. So awesome. Thank you for coming up. It's good to see your face. It makes it all more real, right? All right, Kathy. You know, if anybody else has anything that they, you know, maybe you were invited here and you want to share that as an encouragement, that's what we're trying to do here so that we would go out and we'd be refreshed and we'd be willing to invite others. If that's you and you have something to share, you can just line up on the side real quick. All right, Kathy. So Kathy is going to share to us from the other angle. Kathy invites people all the time.
Okay, but I don't do it without laminated flashcards. My group, they laugh because I do this all the time. I keep these cards just as a reminder to myself and, you know, just like the video we saw, just to be intentional everywhere you go. And it helps that you like to talk. I love to talk to people. But in one instance at Smith's a couple weeks ago, there was this little old lady, and she kind of was nervous, and she's looking for yogurt, and she's talking to herself, and she was beautifully dressed, a beautiful lady, and talking to herself, I can't find my yogurt, I can't find it. And I says, can I help you find it? Mm-hmm. So she told me the brand, and I said, I think it's over here. So I brought her over, and I helped her find her yogurt. So she started to kind of share with me that this is all I eat. I don't cook anymore. You know, started to share her heart with me, kind of a little crabby, but she just said, I don't cook. I haven't cooked for 6 months. My husband passed away, and I just my kids brought me here, and I've been here for 6 months. I don't know anybody. And I'm like, opportunity. I started to, you know, to talk to her, and we just started sharing with each other. And she is a believer, so it was really cool. And I invited her to our women's ministry, and she says, like, well, I haven't learned to drive that far yet, but she's going to another study, and maybe next semester she'll be coming. But we took selfies in Smith's, and we exchanged numbers, and I still continue to pray with her. But that was an opportunity. And then I had another opportunity yesterday. My phone died, so I went to T-Mobile. And, of course, that's never a fun fun thing. I was there for 3 hours. But it was worth it because this young man that I got to share with, of course, we started talking about politics. And then, you know, that just kind of went on to some encouraging. He wanted to start a business, and, you know, we have a business. And we started to just share. And I did tell him that you couldn't start a business without putting Christ first in his life. And he just listened. And so I got to share with him. And we spent 3 hours at T-Mobile sharing. And, you know, and he walked me to the car, and I got to hug him. And I got his name and phone number to pray for him. But I got to encourage him. And he said that I was the first person to encourage him to start a new business, that everybody he talked to said, you know, they just put him down, and he was very encouraged, and it was just really nice to do that. But with my flashcards, I do, it's only four, and I wish we could make them for everybody, but it says, number one is to be intentional and make it count. So everywhere you go, gas station, grocery store, anywhere, the person in front of you, behind you, make it count, even if it's just a kind word. So, because God has placed people in your lives intentionally, on purpose, and it's for His purpose. Right. And for us to point them directly to Christ and words of encouragement of His word. Second, it would be we're on a women on a mission. I always think I'm on a mission. I don't get to go a lot of places, you guys. So it's like really fun when I do. Smith's, I'm like, yay, people. So I talk to everybody I can talk to. And if anybody knows me, that's what I'll do. Even if nobody's talking to my kids, are like, they're not listening to you, Mom. I'm like, I don't care. So be women on a mission. And the third is, like you said, pray for discernment, that God would give you a spirit of discernment and show you the people that need a word of encouragement. And everybody needs, sometimes I need a word of encouragement. So, and number four is refuse to do nothing. You know what I mean? Even if it's helping somebody take their groceries to the car, that's an opportunity. Mm. And I have scriptures to go with that, but my trusty little flashcards. But anyway, thank you, ladies.
I got a free VR for it.
Wow. So that's really convicting. She showed me those cards this morning. I'm like, whoa, like you carry those around? Sure. But thank you, Kathy. Wow. Okay. So that's what we need to be doing. That's a perfect example of living an intentional life and looking for the opportunities and being women on a mission. I love that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. Our worship team is going to come back up. And then Tracy's going to come up and give you some announcements. But let's spend some time praying over these names and just being intentional, starting with that.
Hi. My name is Leah, and I'm sorry, I wasn't really planning on coming up here, but my heart started beating crazy, and I felt like I needed to. But two things. One thing really small. I ran into somebody from high school, and he's telling me, you know, he has two kids, and one kid is from one mom and one kid's from another, and he's trying to make it work, and it's just kind of a messy situation. And you know, and I don't want to tell him, oh, I'm, you know, I'm, my life's great, I have four kids, I'm married, blah, blah, blah. But I just, it was an opportunity to tell him, you know, because he's telling me, I want to make this relationship work. I don't know, it's kind of hard. I was able to tell him, well, you know, oh, and he has scripture on his arm, and he's saying how he goes to this church, but I could tell he wasn't really, like, strongly holding on to his faith. So it was an opportunity to say, well, you know, if you really put Christ first and let him lead, you can make that relationship work. And I can tell it just kind of hit him. So it was just a great opportunity to take, and I'm glad I did it. And then I had one other thing I wanted to share. It's kind of a work in progress. And this study, I hadn't been able to come to this Tuesday morning for a while, just due to scheduling issues with my kids' school and stuff. But I was finally able to come, and it seemed totally to be God's timing, because I have kind of a crazy story of some process of finding that my son had lead in his body that was causing crazy behavior, where I thought he was literally going to have to live in a home for behavioral health issues. He's five, and I really thought I was going to that was going to be his end, because there was no answer for him but to medicate him heavily to turn him into a zombie. Well, anyway, found a holistic doctor, got him healed, get the lead out, and I really felt like God gave us that story because I needed to share it and use it as a platform to not only inform people of the possibility of healing when they're being told there's no other way, but to use it as an opportunity to tell them that God has a beautiful story for each and every one of us. And it doesn't have to be the end that you were told, that you're told is going to be your story. And so anyway, I felt God telling me that I needed to get it out and to do a blog. And I don't know anything about a blog, but then I come here, and they're like, oh, social media day. Well, you know, that's weird. So I go, and it's like everything speaking to me exactly what I needed to hear, because I knew nothing. Thank you. I knew nothing about blogging or anything, and I was able to connect with all these people and just kind of, I have this thing going. I'm going to be able to inform so many people that there is a way. Your son, your child does not have to be a zombie medicated. There's possibility for healing. Exactly. And anyway, I wanted to tell you that.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Good, watch the cord. Okay. You good?
Not really sure what I was going to say, and I think I know now. The invitation that I received was from a friend of mine, and I can honestly tell you it saved my life and many others. Addiction, alcoholism, sexual maladies, they're just a normal part of my day, but it's only because of my pain. And I've been on antidepressants my entire life, and actually since July, June, I haven't taken any. Been struggling with whether I should take the pill or just trust that God did heal me and deliver me from that, so that my spirit can be open and free of those medications that inhibit my relationship to come really close with God. So I'm new to this. I know God and I've always loved him, but I'm new to the believer, faith, church. I would have never, ever imagined that I could even come to the building, much less to the large group, much less to the small group, much less here, but I know that God has a way of doing what he wants if you allow him to just be there. And no matter how afraid you are, no matter how much you don't know, that blank slate is God already knows what's on there. It's the mural of life that he painted for you. And I'm going to encourage you guys to invite everybody, even if you really don't know him or you don't think he'll go. Hopeless is no longer part of my vocabulary, and so.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
What's your name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany, we want to pray for you.
Lord, thank you so much for Tiffany, and Lord, we thank you that you do make us brave. Lord, I just thank you that you gave her the courage to come up here. Lord, we just ask that you would touch her and that you would continue to make her brave, Lord, that you would walk her through this process of healing, Lord, and becoming whole in you. Father, we thank you that you change our lives and that you've given her a new song in her heart. I pray that you continue to work in her and through her, Father, and help her to know how precious she is in your eyes and that you love her so very much. And that you have an amazing future for her and a plan. We just thank you for Tiffany, and we just lift her up to you, and we just praise you, Father, for what you're doing. And we love you so much, Lord. And just give Tiffany a great blessing today, Lord. Just help her to shine for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.